You need to claim the promise. The Lord said, I will be with thee. I will fight for you. Now, have you experienced this week the blessing of God entering into your Christian life and fighting your battles? Maybe the battle of fear, the battle of unbelief, the battle of laziness. You can't get to the Word. You can't get to prayer. You have had a week that is really, you gained no ground. Maybe you even lost ground. Is that not a more accurate picture of many of God's people? That they can lose ground very quickly and they don't gain more blessings.
Thank you sincerely for joining with us here on the broadcast as we bring the message of God's Word today. And it is my burden that I lead you to a good understanding of God Himself and His Word. The Word of the Lord is really the light by which we are to walk. And it reveals the love of God, the character of God, His grace and His power. By turning to the Scriptures, to the Bible, we learn what God has done in the past, we learn of His prophecies of the future, and we learn of His promises. Here is a great promise that He gave to Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now these promises of the Lord put back bone into us. They make us to realize that there is help. God helps His people. And when we learn to trust Him, rely on Him, we will enjoy His power in our lives and in our souls. And I want you to have that. And I pray that even today, that the Lord's Word will thrill your heart. So stay tuned with us here as we let the Bible speak, as we move just in a moment to the pulpit ministry. But firstly, Jesus, draw me nearer. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and day by day I have this great privilege of talking with you and sharing with you the Lord's Word, what we call letting the Bible speak. And we certainly do believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of the living God. It is inerrant. That means there are no errors in the Bible. There is no contradiction in the Bible. It is supernaturally given. God-breathed is the theological term. In fact, it's theonoustos, God-breathed. And that means that every writer was moved by the Holy Spirit to give this word of truth. And so we have a powerful weapon in our hands as we preach and teach God. the word of the living God. And today we're coming to the book of Joshua. We're going to learn some of the highlights of that man of faith and how God put his spirit upon him and used him to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. Joshua, by the way, is our Jesus.
Well, I have to say that this week we had a blessed time speaking to the boys and girls. We had a full program every evening, started with singing, the sword drill that we talked about, and we also had our major story. And we looked at the book of Joshua, just the big picture of Moses not being able to lead God's people into the land of promise. Because remember that Moses represents the law, and Joshua, he really, well, his name, the New Testament version of Joshua is the name Jesus. And so you have a lot of types in these figures. Moses represents the law. The law can never save you. You need a savior. And then, of course, there's the going over the Jordan, the miracle of drying up the water, and then Jericho, that fortified city that seemed to be so impossible, and yet God promised Joshua that he would fight for him, that as he was with Moses, so he would be with Joshua. And then the great story of marching around Jericho, the walls falling down, the complete victory, and all the major victories that you have in that book as they claimed the land of promise. Now, the typology of Joshua going into that land and claiming Canaan, it's not just a picture of heaven. And in some situations, that is accurate. But in reality, Canaan had to be fought for. Every inch, every city, every battle, they had to use all their resources that they would fight and possess the land. And that's a picture of your Christian life. Every little bit of progress in your Christian life is going to be a battle. You've got to claim it and fight for it and wrestle against the enemy of your soul. And those enemies come in various forms. You'll read about the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Philistines and all the other ites. They were multitudes of them, and there were endless battles. And that's the story of your Christian life. It's an endless battle. And you need to claim the promise. The Lord said, I will be with thee. I will fight for you. Now, have you experienced this week the blessing of God entering into your Christian life and fighting your battles? Maybe the battle of fear, the battle of unbelief, the battle of laziness. You can't get to the word. You can't get to prayer. You have had a week that is really, you gained no ground. Maybe you even lost ground. Is that not a more accurate picture of many of God's people, that they can lose ground very quickly and they don't gain more blessings? We had the memory verse for the children this week. We talk about blessed be God, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that ought to be the blessing that you are enjoying. Now, out of all that comes the wonderful story of Rahab. And Rahab is a gospel story. She lived in the city of Jericho, and she was the most unlikely convert, and yet she was the only one, she and her family, who were delivered from the destruction of Jericho. The only one who was brought out safely, even though she had that odious reputation of being a harlot. a deep scarlet sinner. And yet she becomes, in God's providence and mercy, a tremendous trophy of God's saving grace. We can use Rahab as a picture of hope to the very worst of sinners. She's also a picture of God's sovereign grace. Why Rahab? Was she any better? Did she have something others didn't have? Well, the only thing we can see here that God gave her faith. Now, faith is the gift of God. The Bible is very clear on that. It's not something that men work up. Man by nature is unbelievers. He is a doubter, questioning. We have a little atheist in hearts by nature. And faith is a miracle of God's gift. And this woman, Rahab, was given faith. So I'm not going to ask the question, why did she believe? I'm going to ask the question, what did she believe? And as you look at this chapter, Joshua 2, you begin to see that there's a number of things that she became convinced of. It became a heart conviction which made her to stand out as a woman of faith. In verse 8 of chapter 2, would you notice here that this Rahab, she had these two spies in her rooftop. I hope you picked that up in the Bible reading, that Joshua sent out these two spies. They ended up in her home, in her roof space, and hidden there. And as others were searching for these men, Rahab went and spoke to them. Verse 8, before they were led down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Now, Lord there is Jehovah. Now put yourself into the mindset of a Jerichoite in those times when Israel was a very little known entity. These were the people from the wilderness coming across now the Jordan. And she starts to talk about the Lord or Jehovah. And she says, I know. Can you see in that Rahab's faith was based on knowledge. It was not a blind faith, jumping in the dark, but it was something that God gave her the gift to receive and be absolutely sure about. And she says here in verse 9 unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us. And then if you go to verse 11, middle of the verse, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. What wonderful faith, a gift. And she knew and she was convinced that God was the true God. Now, this is absolutely marvelous. Her faith was based on faith. She also knew something of the history of Jehovah, that he is the one who, for the Israelites, had given them the exodus out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, into the desert. Look at verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Now, I don't mix that up with drying up the Jordan. That 40 years prior, there was the miracle of crossing the Red Sea. And that news spread throughout the nations. And then they sort of lost sight of those Israelites for all those years as they wandered in the wilderness. And then the news came out, they have crossed the Jordan, and again God dried up the water and gave them a free passage across. She also knew in verse 10 the fate of two Amorite kings, Sihon and Og. They didn't have a chance. And God helped Israel and destroyed those kings. And then, as we noted in verse 11, that all the people were fainting, their hearts were melting. They realized that this Jehovah was mighty. And that great statement, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And you know, that's where faith starts. Faith starts with an awareness of the true and living God. By some means, by somehow, the miracle of faith is worked within the believer's heart. That's how it started for Abraham. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 7 and verse 1, you will see how God revealed himself to Abraham and changed his life, made him a believer. Let's turn to Acts 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." Now, Abraham had been in Ur, a Chaldean culture of paganism. And God made himself known by his glory to Abraham. That's how God works. That's how God shows himself. You remember Moses at the burning bush. Whatever he knew of Jehovah prior to that through the Hebrews, whatever sympathies he had for the Hebrew people, his own people, as he stood at that bush, God revealed himself to Moses as the I Am, and again as Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. Then Saul of Tarsus, the madman against the church, the Lord shines and his heart is changed. And that's the pattern of every convert. If you're a Christian today, there was an hour, a time when God made himself known to you. You became God aware, God conscious. You could see him, yes, in his word, where others are blind. You could hear his voice through the word. You could see him in the providences of life, in the very culture where you lived. You could see God. You were God aware. You were made to be convinced that God exists. And of course, that's the miracle of regeneration, whereby we are led to know and understand the true and living God. Has this happened to you? That once you were unbelieving, once you were doubting, questioning, but today you can say with Rahab, I know that the Lord, he is God. That's the amazing wonder of the gift of faith. And of course, the whole ministry of the gospel is referred to give them light that sit in darkness, and to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. That's the whole program of the gospel. That's what we are about today as the Lord's church, that we might see the knowledge, the light of the Lord Jesus go forth. That's why it said in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. But they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking God today because you've been made aware that God exists? Is he calling you? Are you listening to his voice? That's the miracle of faith. Now back to Joshua 2 and verse 9, you will see that Rahab believed that God's judgment was coming upon Jericho. Our own people. Through faith in God, she then saw, as if with new glasses, she saw things not from the Jerichoites' perspective, but she saw things from God's perspective. And she knew that her own city and her own people were doomed to destruction. And her sympathy was with God in the matter. No argument with God. No protest. She said in verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us. Now this understanding of God's judgment upon the wicked, sinful Jericho, and they were pagans, they were idolaters, they were homosexuals, they were defiers of God. And this woman, Rahab, she understood that that people were under the curse, the wrath of God. And that was the gift of faith that was given to her. Now, of course, we know the real reason why judgment was falling upon these cities. Their sins were filling up. That's why it took so long for the Israelites to come. The sin of these nations were not yet filled up. But now their stench was come to heaven. And the Israelites were coming as God's instrument of judgment upon a wicked people. And that knowledge, that perspective, was given to Rahab as a gift. And every Christian has that perspective, that we're living in a world that is under God's judgment. A world that does not deserve to be treated righteously because of the sin and the corruption and the defiance of God. And that this world will one day burn up under God's wrath. And every preacher of the Bible had that perspective. Noah, I say no more, he stands out as a living example of one who understood that wrath was coming. Think of Abraham. He was told to get out of Ur of the Chaldees, not to try and convert the culture, but to get out and to become the head of a new people. Jeremiah, he probably had the toughest mission of all because he was a prophet to warn the people of Jerusalem, yes, the holy city, the city that had been given to them by God as a gift. And his ministry was, this city is going to fall, the Babylonians are coming, and 70 years of captivity is upon this people. They will be defeated and led astray. That was Jeremiah's ministry. Think of the Lord Jesus. His ministry was really a ministry to warn people that this world is going to be destroyed, and that wrath is coming upon this world. He preached against men living for riches. Remember the rich fool, the farmer who wanted to pull down his barns and build greater. And the Lord called him a fool because this night his soul was required. And the Lord went on to say how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, because those that love this world and love its riches, they don't grasp that this world is under God's wrath. I can remember very vividly the day in my experience before I was converted when this, I call it a revelation, I call it insight, got a hold on me, and I began to realize everybody I know, my family, my friends, this country is headed for judgment if they're not converted to Christ. And I was the only one, well, I have to be careful, my mother made a profession of faith 6 months before me. I was the only one in my wider family circle that became a Christian. And as I thought of those souls, the light of the gospel was dawning on me and making an impact on me and making to realize that not only do I need to be saved, but all of those people I know and love, they need to be saved. And that is what faith reveals. That's what happened to Rahab. She recognized that her city, her people, was under judgment.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. And yes, this is really my own testimony of the Lord's saving grace in my life. I was beginning to read the Bible. I was hearing the gospel on a weekly basis, faithfully preached by men of God who knew the Lord, knew His word, and knew the way of salvation. I was coming under the conviction of sin, my own sin, that I needed to be saved, to be delivered from God's wrath. And that understanding that not only I was lost, but multitudes of people I knew around me were lost in sin. And of course, the Bible teaches us that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And this is one reason why we need to preach the word. And as we do so here on this station, day by day, I pray that the Lord will use it. Will you pray with us? And will you invite your friends and others to join at this time as we let the Bible speak? Stay tuned now for the closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.